Perfect.
God bless you.
Beautiful.
What a wonderful privilege it is to stand before each one of you. And because each one of you have a heart for God. And the reason we come together and learn God's word is so we get to know Him even greater. The subject, which you've heard all about it already, is about hearing from God. And probably the biggest reason why we don't hear from God, we don't listen. That's simple. You know the word to listen is the same letters as silent. It takes being quiet. And takes a time of devotion, a time to just give God. So, but the reason that God wants to, He wants a relationship with each one of us. And to have a relationship, you have to communicate. Mm-hmm. And so if God has communicated by three ways. He's communicated through His Word. It's called the Word of God. This was God breathed. He inspired men to write down the Word of God. We receive it through the Holy Spirit. God is holy. God is spirit. He has given His incorruptible seed in each one of us without hesitation. Each one of us has the same measure. And then He's given a personal relationship. I grew up thinking He's a big ogre and just waiting to figure out what I'm going to mess up. But He's a loving Heavenly Father. He said, my father was a wonderful man. He had a lot of fear. But our Heavenly Father is perfect. And He loves us. And He's very concerned about each one of our lives. So we are going to learn a little bit more about being intimate with Him. Let's turn to John chapter 17. And we're going to look at verse 3. And it seems like every time I teach anymore, I start with this verse. Because it was quite a revelation to me a while ago. Because it sums up our lives. And this is life eternal. John 17:3. This is life eternal. That ye might know thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom thou hast sent. And the NIV says, now this is eternal life. That they know you, the one true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you have sent. To know is the Greek word ginosko, which means to know intimately as a husband and a wife. That's about the most intimate relationship you can have. God wants to know each one of us intimately. And when you get to know someone, you start to recognize their voice, you start their laugh, their mannerisms. If I were to say, do you have any hot sauce? Who do you think would be saying that?
Barney.
Anyone knows Barney? You need some hot sauce whenever you eat. So you get to know people and you get to recognize their voice. If someone were to call me and I wasn't using my caller ID, and if I'd spent some time with them, I would recognize their voice. When our children call us, they don't have to say, hey mom, this is James. I know his voice. And we don't have to do that to God. Hey, God, this is Jeannie. He knows. He knew we were going to talk to Him anyways. That's pretty wonderful. But we have to get to know Him. We have to spend time in His Word. We start to recognize God's voice by spending time and listening to Him. He's got a personal message all day long for each one of us. But let's look at Ephesians chapter 2. Because He has a message, because He has a plan for our lives. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 10. It says, we are His workmanship, our masterpiece, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. And the NIV, NLT says, we are God's masterpiece. He has created us anew in Christ Jesus. We're a new man. So we can do good things He planned for us long ago. He planned for us long ago to be who we are, to be where we are. Well, my desire from, I guess, from 19 years old was to know God's will for my life. In fact, I asked my dad one Sunday afternoon after going to church and realizing I didn't really want to hear a message back. I said, how do you know you're doing God's will? He said, you find out when you die. And I was 19 years old. And I thought, well, that's kind of a waste of time. So I said to God, I went to Europe with my sister, and while I was there, I realized the whole world wasn't Catholic, and that was my sphere of influence. And I realized I did not have a Christian relationship with God. Mm-hmm. That I couldn't tell someone that was looking. In the 70s, we were all looking for something that distracted at times. But I was looking for the truth. And I said to God, show me the truth. And he led me by, I was back, we were gone for 6 months. After that 6 months, he had already lined me up to go to a Bible fellowship for China right after I got back. It's miraculous. I'll have to share that someday. But I wanted to know God's will for my life. How many of you want to know God's will for your life? We all do, right? Absolutely. Well, we have to communicate with God. We have to hear him. How many of you have a cell phone? Probably everyone, right? How about a Facebook account? How about an email? How about text messages? Internet? Messenger? Twitter? Daily newspaper? All of these are modes of communication. We want to be connected. So we spend a lot of time, and I feel like most of my time I spend on Facebook, and really, I just want to see what my kids are doing. I really should tap into theirs, because I spend too much time scrolling down and seeing what everybody's eating and where they're going. Or, is that really benefiting my life? Some of the things, there's posts of the Word, which is great and stuff, where we can pray for things, but have you ever gone down the street and stopped at the stoplight and realized, I forgot my cell phone? What do we do? You run back home and you go get it. Have you ever ran down the street, stopped at the stop sign and said, I forgot to spend time with my Heavenly Father? Mm-hmm. You turn around and go back? So that's my message today, is we need to take time to him to be a part of our communication, because he is the perfect communication. He will never lie. He's not a man that he should lie. Everything he says is true. Everything he wants is the best for us. So why wouldn't you? If you had a friend that all they did was encourage you and never found your faults, wouldn't you want to spend all your time with them? Mm-hmm. Instead of the other one that says, well, you can change your hairstyle this way or that, or do something. You know, you want to spend someone that really encourages you, and that's what we want to do. Look at Jesus Christ's life. His life was significant because he only did the will of the Father. And nothing else. He did what God said, and then he didn't think, oh, you know, I ought to go over there too. He only did the will of the Father. He says, I must be about my Father's business when I was 12 years old. How many of us knew what our purpose was in life at 12 years old? You know, we were still trying to learn how to ride a bike. You know, it's amazing that, you know why he knew that? He knew the scriptures. He read scrolls. They didn't have a Bible like this. He learned it at home. He went to the temple. And when he was 30 years old, he received Holy Spirit. And at that time, he was led into the wilderness for 40 days. And you know what he did in that time? He talked to his Father. God talked to him, I should say. And taught him more and intimate. And then when the 40 days was over and he was hungry, hadn't eaten for 40 days, that's when the temptation came. And he spoke against the temptation with the word of God, it is written. And that's what our lives are all about. We need to have that refreshing time where we sit and we talk to the Heavenly Father. And he talks to us about his plans for our lives. We need to ask him to open our hearts to see what his plan is right now. He's in our very breath. It's not like we've got to go find him. He's right with us. He chose his habitation with us. He didn't choose it in some big steeple, some big church. He lives within us. So do you think he knows the problem that you're going through? Or he knows that where you need to go? Or he's got the advice that you need? Absolutely. I've been journaling, which is I write down my prayers, and then I write down what God says. And on September 6th, he told me, my children know me as the fix-it man, but I also am the master planner, the developer, the creator, so nothing passes by me. I've been studying a book called Discerning the Voice of God, How to Recognize When God is Speaking. And you probably might recognize this woman. She was in the War Room movie. She was the realtor. And she's a Christian minister. And she has a beautiful book. If you want to learn more about this or just have a refreshing time in God's Word, hearing the practical application of God's Word, I would recommend this. But there's a great illustration that she had in here that I want to quote. She says, our lives are like a box containing all the pieces of a jigsaw puzzle. Only God can see the picture on the lid. And if you had a 1,000-piece jigsaw puzzle and you didn't have the cover, you'd have a hard time putting it together. Only God can see the picture on the lid. He alone has a grasp for the entire layout and knows exactly how and when all the pieces need to come together. The arrival of financial assistance, the emergence of a ministry opportunity, the opening of a career promotion, or change in direction. And I have an illustration for you. Here's a box. And it's got jigsaw puzzles in it. Pieces of a jigsaw puzzle. Dan Lucas made this for us. And this is the picture of the jigsaw puzzle. On Bob's 70th birthday, our sons invited us to do an intimate dinner party with a small group of people, since they were paying. Couldn't have the whole world, we would have had everyone. But because of the cost, but we had an intimate group. But in this group, this picture represents 50 years of Bob's life. He was, when he got born again, he was 20 years old, and he received God's word, and he started preaching it from the time he received it. And the first person that spoke to him, Tim Somerville, was here. And the biggest blessing was for him to see that, for Tim to see that, in fact, I have a picture of him, here he is. For him to see what his life represented over 50 years. All these people had a relationship with God because of that. Our children were there. It's interesting with Tim Somerville because he came from Cleveland, Ohio, to go to East Carolina University, where Bob was starting his freshman year in college. They're both on the basketball team. Well, it ended up, Tim never played basketball, but what he did was brought Bob the Word of God. Bob was so impressed with him because in his dorm room, instead of going out at night, he was reading the Bible. He thought, well, I don't know what that means, but I will hear more. So he got born again with Tim boldly professing the Word, and then Bob went into the Marine Corps, and he had that desire to speak the word to more people and start a fellowship. So he was speaking the word and nothing was happening. But one day, these two administrators came to him. Bob was working in the separation department, if I get all this right. And he was separating guys out of the Marine Corps. That was his job. And these guys were working in that department. And they were overseeing a group of guys that were in a barracks that were waiting to go to court-martial. Because they either had AWOL or done something. And these two ministers brought Bob in there and said, can you speak the word to these guys? And through that process, he met a guy, Larry McCraw, who eventually he and his wife lived with us for a period of time. And Larry should have been gotten a dishonorable discharge. He ended up going to, Bob was at Camp Pendleton, he ended up going to the MCRD here and finished off his career. And he met Ken Petty, who is a wonderful minister that we love, he met him on the boardwalk at Mission Beach and spoke the word to him, and now Ken has ministered to many, many people. Rebecca Meekes went to my high school. Mm-hmm. Dan was in a class that I ran. All these people, Marnie and Vicki came to San Diego in 1982 and we started ministry. They had just got married, our son James had just gotten born. But God has a plan for each one of us. And as we boldly speak His word, we start to see the pieces of the puzzle fit together. And the sweetest thing about this puzzle is Dan has each person, you have the whole face, you don't just try to find an eye. And it's just beautiful. And
that's awesome.
Take your time later to look at this. But it's great that here you're capitalizing on 50 years of a man's life. So our lives are just a puzzle. And as God helps us put those pieces together, we see that we are glorifying Him. And our lives are blessed. Mary Ruth came to us a few years ago. And we were able to open up our home to her and help her. And she's the beautiful woman she is today. Because she heard God's word and she was loved. Each one of us have that privilege. Let's look at Psalm 85:8. And you go back and look at the pieces that God has put in your puzzle. You'll see where, gosh, I could have done this, and yet God, I was going to be an accountant. My dad and I were going to have an accounting firm. All this stuff, and I left school at 20 and got married at almost 21, got married, and God became my employer. I continued to do some accounting work, but the primary job was God's work, which has just really blessed my life because I found the truth. Psalm 85:8 says, I will hear what God the Lord will speak, for He will speak peace unto His people and to His saints, but let them not turn away from falling. And the NIV says, I will listen with expectancy to what God, the Lord, will say, for He will speak peace to His people. I will listen with expectancy. And that's an important thing we need to have, is to listen with expectancy. How many times do you, in your prayer life, do you find it a monologue? Most of the time, mine has been. Yeah, we pray, we give God our wish list, and then we move on to the day. Well, what God wants for us, He wants us to listen. He wants us to close our ears. Well, actually, you know, He gave us two ears and a mouth so that we could hear more and speak less. So that's what He wants for us. And the children's fellowship are making hearing ears today. But God wants to talk to us, but we got to be quiet. Let's look at John 14:26, what the Holy Spirit does. This is the Word of God. This is His will for our lives. If you're having a problem with finances, look at the Word. There'll be so many things. And the big thing is, if you have a problem, you have debt, give. Don't allow God to be left out of the picture. Because He says when you give, He'll repeat the devourer for your sake. It just keeps getting better and better. But the John 14:26 says that the Comforter, which is the Holy Spirit, Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, He shall teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance whatsoever I have said unto you. He's the Comforter. He will teach us all things. The Holy Spirit will teach us all things. He will bring to remembrance the Word of God. And now as we get older, our memories are not so good. I'm not going to, you know, I can tell you a scripture, but to know the reference, and I'm usually good at numbers. But those aren't coming anymore. So I'm thankful that He wrote His Word down. Can you imagine if we had to just hear it once? We wouldn't hear it. But the Spirit builds us up in the inner man. That's why we need to pray in the Spirit perfectly. And it will bring us to remembrance the things that he has told us.
2 weeks ago, Barney shared on the Good Shepherd. Jesus Christ is a Good Shepherd. And the one thing about the Good Shepherd is, and the promise is, my sheep hear my voice. Mm-hmm. We are just sheep. We kind of are in the pack and we're running around. We need someone to lead us. And the Good Shepherd is there to protect us. That they hear his voice. He's got to talk to them. You know, the sheep would be out in the pasture and all these other herdsmen have their sheep. And then when that shepherd calls the sheep, they all go. And you know what? And they don't get counterfeited by, oh, well, that voice sounds good. He knows his own sheep and they know his voice. And they won't go to someone else. We need to have that steadfast ability to hear God's voice and only go to him. Because the other voice you're going to hear is, well, you screwed up today. Remember, or do I need to remind you again and again? Because that's what he'll do. The adversary does. And that's not the shepherd we want to be around. No, he tears us down. Because he doesn't want us to hear God's voice. He doesn't want us to know. And the sheep won't follow a stranger. You know, they know who their master is. We need to know who our Lord is. I'll read this verse. Ezekiel 3:10 says, take into your heart all my words which I will speak to you, and listen closely. One of the most common reasons why we don't hear from God is perhaps the most obvious. We're not listening. Romans 12:1-2 says in the NLT, and so, dear brothers and sisters, I plead with you to give your bodies to God because of all he has done for you. Let them be a living and holy sacrifice, the kindness he will find acceptable, the kind he will find acceptable. This is truly the way to worship him. Don't copy the behavior and customs of this world, but let God transform you into a new person by changing the way you think. You know, the battlefield's in the mind. How we think, what we hear, we're going to start thinking about. Then you will learn to know God's will for you, which is good and pleasing and perfect. God's will for you is good and pleasing and perfect. Wouldn't you want to know it?
Sure. Absolutely.
On October 6th, I asked God, how do I communicate how to discern his voice so clearly so it will inspire action? And this is what he said. I rejoice and stand in awe when I hear prayers and praise, when I hear hearts that want to know why. It is simple. How do my people hear my voice? They start with my word. That is true and faithful. That is how my voice sounds. Then they walk in the power of the Holy Spirit, which will bring to remembrance my word. At times a need to tell them, to encourage, to answer, to direct their steps. It is quite simple, but the expectancy must be there. Did I give my spirit by measure to be increased as it is used? Or did I create all my children equal and endue them with power from on high? Yes, you know I have. And all I ask is an intimacy, a dependency on a father that only gives things to his children, good things to his children. With this heart, all my children should be conversing with me and receiving my love and direction all the days of their lives. Isn't that beautiful? That was it. God spoke that to me when I was praying with him and asked him a question. We can ask him a question all the time. And that's what we should be doing. Okay, Lord, this path that I'm on right now, I've got two ways to go. Which way should I go? Give him that time because he has a perfect plan for you that will prosper you, that will edify him. We represent Jesus Christ to the world. Jesus said, I can in my own self do nothing. And then yet we think we could do something of our own selves. No. We need the Father. We need the Word of God. In the Old Testament, God primarily spoke to prophets and with visible signs, you know, Moses in the wilderness with the burning bush. He even spoke through a donkey. The song, Speak to Me, Lord, comes from 1 Samuel 3, where God spoke to Samuel. And he heard the voice, and
Finally, he thought it was Eli the priest. It took three times before Eli told Samuel, "It's the Lord, listen to him. Speak to thy servant is listening." During Jesus' ministry, he spoke through his son and through miracles. Today, his primary way he speaks is through the written word and through the Holy Spirit. And he can bring people in your path to tell you that something he's probably already told you, but you haven't received it. That happened to Paul. Don't go to Jerusalem. Last newsletter, I had a list of things that will help you how to spend time with God and to hear, recognize his voice. One of the first requirements is to get born again and then receive the Holy Spirit and start operating that Spirit in your life. Read and study the Bible. Make time to pray. Not take time, make time. If you take time, you take the time will never come. You have to make time. Make an appointment. We don't miss our appointments with our doctors, do we? But how about our appointment with God? Prepare yourself to listen. God's voice will give you an inner peace. His Spirit will guide you into all truth. Pray in the Spirit much. Keep your life God-centered. Walk by the Spirit and do not fulfill the lusts of the flesh. You know, you can't have your foot in two worlds. Now, we come from the heavenly. When we got born again, we have the availability of heaven to bring heaven on earth. So we have that supernatural power. We need to use it. Enjoy it. Our fellowship with God flows freely when we walk in love and forgiveness. And then we obey God. Jesus in the garden, you know, he didn't really want to give up his life. But he said, you know, there is another way, but not my will, but thine be done. And that's what we should speak every day. Lord, what is your will? So we can walk in it. So we can put those pieces of the puzzle together. Isaiah 55:3 says, "Come to me with your ears wide open. Listen, and you will find life. I will make an everlasting covenant with you. I will give you all the unfailing love I promised David." That's it. How many fun that. Do you have any doubt God wants to talk to you and direct your steps into the plan that he has established before the foundation of the world? Before he even met you, you already have this divine plan for you. Before Jesus actually walked into his ministry, God said, "This is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased." You haven't done any works yet. That is God's heart for each one of us. So now you can get rid of your chair, pull out your book, and there's a piece of paper in there. We're going to go over this paper, and then we're going to have probably 5 minutes, 10 minutes to do some talking to God. That's what we look for, and then listen to God. And then next week, we're going to get back into this, and I'd like for you to share some of the things that you've learned this week. So, practical keys to hearing God's voice. We're going to read this together in the booklet. It says, make time for God daily. Read his word. Pray without ceasing. Speak in tongues much. And if you don't know how to speak in tongues, we'll teach you. These are open lines of communication with the Father. Put them on your calendar. Start a habit of seeking God every day. Be mindful. He is with you all day long. Prepare an atmosphere where you can pray, talk to God without distractions. Prepare a place that will welcome the presence of God. You know, don't sit in a room where you've got your mop and your bucket and mop and it's reminding you, I got to wash the floors. No, come into a place where there's no distractions. I've been cleaning out my office all weekend because I got lots of projects that I've been working on over the years, and I need to have something that's just peaceful. Mm-hmm. You know, those projects, they'll come or they won't come. We'll finish them or they won't. I started a needlepoint thing when Tim was born, our oldest son, and when Susie was born, he finally finished it. That's like 7 years. Expect God to talk to you. Come prepared to hear. Listening requires being silent. We are in a war of mass distractions. That's the world we live in. Everything's distracting us, taking us away from the peace. You know, I'm afraid that young kids today won't know how to be quiet because they've always got their cell phone. Everywhere you go,
you know, standing, someone's at a corner, they've got their cell phone going. Go to the bus stop, there's everybody with their cell phones. We don't know how to be quiet. Come prepared to hear. Okay. Here's a really important one. You know, when you got those hearing ears, you gotta clean them out. You gotta make room so that God can get through. There are many things that you, there may be things you're ashamed of or feel condemned about or think God won't talk to you. Is there anything separating you from God?
No.
Bitterness, unforgiveness, resentment? Repent, which basically means change your thinking. Are those the things that God has thinks of you? Your past is forgiven. Guilt is taken away. Come clean before God. Forgiving someone doesn't make them right. It makes you free. Hebrews 12:1 talks about the race that we run. It says that we lay aside every weight and sin and run with patience the particular race God has set before us. You know, a runner doesn't put on a coat, warm coat, hat, and all this stuff. He runs very free. We need to run free in this race, knowing that we're allowing God to direct us. We don't have to worry about it. Believe God will speak to you. You have to believe it. Expect it. He has a plan for your life, and you need to know how the jigsaw pieces fit. And then come with a pen and paper. Write a love letter to your Abba. You may be having a hard time, but pour your heart out to him. He won't be shocked. There's nothing new under the sun. Ask him questions and write down what comes up in your mind. It will flow, not a one-word conversation. A journal will be most helpful. If you're concerned your thoughts will not be from God when you write them down, you can filter them. Are your thoughts relevant to the message? Are they loving, encouraging, edifying, uplifting? Do they agree with the scriptures? As you reread what you have written, cross out anything that does not fit this criteria. Now, God could say, I love you, my child. You are so wonderful in my sight. Don't forget the laundry. And these are things that will pop in. Well, just write it down. You know, start off this way. Work with yourself. Don't be afraid. You know, fear is the thing that stops us from doing really God's will. So, kid, don't forget the line. Just cross it out. And you can rewrite it or just cross it up and read it without it. Because our minds will get distracted, too. But if you have a peaceful place and you just let it flow, just like the manifestations, it flows. It's not like you get three words and then wait, three words. God, he's right there. You think he's hard of words to speak? I don't think so. And he's flowery. He has lots of run-on sentences. Don't worry about grammar. As you continue to journal, you'll start to recognize God's voice very clearly. He will flow with the heart of love and encouragement for you. There are only three sources of voices you will hear. God's, your own, or the devil's. There will be a peace when you know you are done. Remember, my sheep, hear my voice. Keep asking, speak to me, Lord, I am listening. And the bottom part is a homework for you. I'd like for you to work on it this week. But part of the reason for writing down is so that we recall in Psalm 77, verse 11 and 12 says, but then I recall all you have done, O Lord. I remember your wonderful deeds of long ago. They are constantly in my thoughts. I cannot stop thinking about your mighty works. And that's the way our heart should be. We just can't stop thinking about how good God is and how, you know, he put this together. I could never have done that. That's because we're walking in this path. We're putting those pieces together. So right now, I'm going to give you 5 minutes. And I'd like you to, if you need a little space, to spread out a little bit, or just sit where you are. And I want you to write a love letter to your Heavenly Father. Just write some thoughts that you have on your heart. Just thank him for the relationship that he has set before us. Just tell me you love him, and I'll bet he'll tell you the same. I love you too, my child. Write, and then I want you to take a space, and then write down anything that you have in your heart. Any of those, any words, say, hey, Lord, say,
Speak, Lord, I'm listening. And then start by being sensitive. Okay? So this is a little practicing, and when it's just a way to get start your mind to start listening to God. And then next week, we'll get into more of, if you have questions, I do have on the bottom here, I have my phone number and my cell phone and my email. If you have questions, then please communicate, and then we can cover those next week. But right now, if we do that, I'll set my phone to 5 minutes, or let's just say we'll get together in 20 minutes, we'll end with a prayer, and I have another little song for you. So, okay?
Okay.
If you want to continue writing, you can. We're going to play a song, and then we'll pray. Anybody have something that they just can't contain themselves with?
Just getting started.
Louis?
So I was writing, but I'm coming to it back. It was, you're perfect with no fault. You're perfectly designed and engineered. It's not about the mission, but it's well, just complete.
Beautiful. Beautiful. Al?
I could have write that in the first book. And the Abba Father, my life with you is significant. Without you, empty and futile, hopeless. What will you show me? I will show you my love and how important your life is to me. The world needs the things I have for you to do. So keep coming to me and follow my lead. You matter.
Amen.
God, hello, it's me. I know you know that. It's mainly for me that I say that. It's sort of like an ice cube tray. The water needs separators to become individualized pieces. Well, I need you to grow and thrive and strive, or else I'm a block of ice. And then I can't fit into the glasses of your desire for my life to be filled to overflowing. That's your desire, God. I need to heed your desire so that it will come to pass. You delight in seeing that. I need to delight in allowing for your free flow in my life. Like one enjoys a cool, tall glass of lemonade, I need you to allow you to be that tall glass in my life. You are ready. Am I?
You didn't have time yet, right?
No.
Wait for him, he'll speak to you. Paula? Just read what the Father says.
Okay.
Or if you have a question for me, read that, how it's right. If you learn today, and review some of this stuff, and just have some really sweet time with the Father, and look at the points there, and then come back next week. If you have questions, why don't you email them to me so I can kind of prepare for some of them, if you don't quite understand, or comments, we can work with that. We'll hear have the teaching of the word too, but I think if you see how important that those jigsaw pieces are, and that intimacy with the Father, it would be worth it to check it out, because it only helps you when you minister to someone, you minister healing. God's going to tell you it's that liver. There's something there. You know, they might think it's just a back problem, but God will give you insight. It's all about your whole walk. It's just, these are practical things to help us that we can rely on God to speak to us when we're ministering to people. Well, we can get more confident in our manifestations of speaking in tongues with interpretation and prophecy. But you should know His voice. We really need to know His voice and be silent. So we have the last song that we're going to play. And let me pray, and then we're going to have a song. Father, I thank you for the word that was spoken today, your words, that they are received and remembered, and that we all can come boldly before your throne of grace and enjoy the wonderful fellowship that we have with you. So speak to us, Lord, because we're ready to listen. In the name of Jesus Christ, amen.
Amen.